Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top of the morning and welcome in Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. It is a football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Danny is out today. Pete Medhurst will be hanging out with me for the next 4 hours. Excited to catch up with Pete. We'll be talking a lot of football, college, pro, getting you ready for a huge weekend ahead. Couple of games last night that I was paying close attention to. We'll get to the NFL offering in just a moment, but we told you we'd start the show with an update on the Nats throughout the stretch run, and so we will do that now. It was a good day for the Nationals yesterday. Mixed bag overall, but the Cubs lost in extra innings for a second straight day. So they are two games back of Washington, a half game loss to positioning for Chicago. Meanwhile, Milwaukee did win again, so they pulled within one game of the Nats. And the Phillies lost to the Braves, which means they are now five games off the pace. I think that's important because they've got five games coming up against the Nats at Nationals Park this coming week. If they are out of contention, those games become harder for them, I would think, to put their A lineups together for at the end of maybe a lost season. So, plus one on Milwaukee, plus two on Chicago, and plus 4.5 on the Mets is where the Nats stand right now in the wild card race. Let's welcome in Pete Medhurst, fresh off of his update. He is moseyed on over to talk to here in our Half Street Studios.
It's a long walk, my friend. Three steps right across the hallway.
It's not easy. I was hoping you were going to wheel over in your chair. That's your new move.
It's kind of been my move lately. You know, I just don't like getting out of it. If we ever have races around here where we're in the chairs, I'm prepared for it because I've been working, you know, right up to having some kind of competition.
I've actually seen two great in-the-chair gimmicks from Pete Medhurst the last few days. I saw Thom's picture where you wheeled around to the food drop.
Absolutely. Scooped up the macaroni and cheese yesterday successfully from my chair without leaving it.
That was great. And then today, and maybe I missaw this, but it looked like you were outside of CK's door talking to him in your chair. And assuming that you didn't walk your chair over there, that means you wheeled almost 15 feet.
That's correct.
For a convo.
Not only that, you will be happy to know that because we had to move our food into the air studio due to scavengers in the morning show hours, I thus successfully wheeled my chair into the studio, got my smoothie right here from Tropical Smoothie Cafe, and then successfully opened the door and wheeled myself out all the way back to my studio, which is probably 25 feet if we're measuring with a tape measure from one point to the other.
So let me clarify just for the record, for the people listening. The table that's normally out here with the food on it?
That's correct.
Was that brought in the studio?
Yes. Moved it into the
Because of yesterday's situation where all of the food drop food got eaten?
Matt Valdez and I both walked out to the table and we looked at the buckets where the chicken was. Problem was, there wasn't any chicken.
Pummeled.
And this was pretty shortly after the food had arrived. So
yeah.
it was gone quickly.
One of the morning shows did eat. It just wasn't the junkies.
That's correct.
I mean.
That's exactly right. Though Joe Claire claims there was no chicken consumed on his part, but Sonny, she put the photographic evidence right on social media for everybody to see.
Poor junkies didn't even get their chicken. Real quick on the Nats, they start a series today with the Miami Marlins. It's very simple, Pete. If you're going to make the playoffs, winning less than 2 of 3 against Miami is unacceptable, and ideally you got to try to find a way to get all three of these, but it's not like you're taking on ace pitching. I get that Aníbal Sanchez is going, not Steven Strasburg today, but Sanchez against one of the Duggar kids, and there's like 22 of them today. Who's 0-2 with a 4.29 ERA. You got to find a way to beat the Marlins in the first of these three, and you got to win this series unequivocally.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I think the interesting thing, too, is you look at the Marlins. They gave Don Mattingly a 2-year contract extension. So these dudes know all now that that's who they're auditioning for. it's his team for the next 2 years down there in Miami. I think one thing you mentioned, too, that Phillies loss, by the way, not only that, Philly may be losing Gene Segura. He pulled up lame yesterday getting into first base. That's a critical injury for them because when he missed time earlier this year, they missed him drastically.
Good player.
In that lineup. So from that standpoint, look, I'll go one deeper. I think you got to win all three games. I mean, you can't risk what comes your way next week with Philadelphia and then those last three with Cleveland. Cleveland, Grant, not only in the race for the American League Central, four back of the Twins entering the weekend, but they're tied with the Rays for the number two spot in the American League wild card. So every one of those games all next week for the Indians could mean a lot. So you are hoping upon hope that you have more than a three-game lead on somebody heading into that final series because you know the Indians are going to have, you know, all systems go for that weekend series, trying to either get to the Central Division top or get into a wild card position.
Yeah, and I don't think the Indians can win the Central at this point. They're playing for that wild card you mentioned with Tampa Bay, with Oakland. Those three teams have been vying for the two spots. But the fact is those games are going to matter to them, and they are going to be hungry one way or the other. The Nationals are going to have their work cut out for them because I don't see them having a three-game cushion going into that final weekend. Sweeping the Marlins would obviously help. You'd have to imagine you'd gain a little ground on Chicago and Milwaukee if you were able to do that. Normally on a Football Friday, we're getting you ready for Redskins Sunday action. We've actually got a full four-hour show before they play, with their next matchup being in primetime on Monday night against the Bears. At Redskins Park yesterday, several players talking about Chicago, including Josh Norman. He's putting the focus on his defense, though, not on the Bears' offensive personnel.
I've been surprised. I didn't think, you know, it would have came and hit us like this. Yeah, we have some tough teams that we face, but it wasn't that much better than what we are. And the crazy thing is, you know, we give up one or two of these plays here and they turn into a big thing. And they turn into us losing the ball game if you look at it.
Yes, that's what happens when you give up 50-yard touchdown passes in a chunk yardage league. You lose games. And they've given up three of them over two games. I take a little issue with the idea that the Redskins have been really stout defensively, minus a couple of plays. They've allowed over 900 yards. They are worst or close to it in almost every category at this point. They can't rush the quarterback. They've got one legitimate sack for any kind of negative yardage from Ryan Kerrigan against Dak Prescott. They have one takeaway on a bad pass from Dak Prescott that was picked off by Monte Nicholson. It wasn't really anything that they did. It was a throw behind a receiver that got batted up into the air to Nicholson, who was in good position. So this notion that we got to clean up a couple plays a game and we'll be okay. No, you've been run on. You've been susceptible in the passing game. You can't get to quarterbacks. There's literally nothing for this defense to hang its hat on yet. The good news is Mitch Trubisky, who has been terrible, is coming to town. And while the Bears are saying, we can get our offense going against the Redskins defense can say, at least we get to play the Bears offense this week.
Reputation only takes you so far. Granted, coming into the season, the reputation of individual defenders on this Redskins defense was very good. However, as a collective 11-man unit right now, those guys individually aren't playing well, and as a collective unit, they've been horrendous. I mean, any honest look at the film shows you just how bad they've been. And the only time that they've gotten people off the field have been the limited opportunities where they've gotten a quarterback pressure or two, forced a quarterback to get off of their spot. Teams have been able to run on them when they want to. Granted, I know last week you're playing against Ezekiel Elliott, but the first week you're playing Philadelphia. You know, still no huge ground game there in my mind for the Eagles, and you let them do it whenever they wanted to, especially to keep drives alive in that second half. Philadelphia was able to do everything they wanted, and you couldn't get off the field. The greatest stat in football is third down. You extend drives by converting them. You stop drives by stopping them, and the Redskins have got to find a way to get people off the field on third down, period. End of story.
It did last in the league that they 2 years ago, similarly defensively, when they fell apart and a defensive coordinator's job was lost because of it. They were the worst historical defense on third down for three quarters of the season that we'd ever seen before in the history of the sport. Last night, we had a game to kick off week three. Jaguars in the rain, sloppy AFC South football, beat the Titans 20-7. I don't know if you watched the Gardner Minshew show, but the Washington State product, who was all over the place collegiately at four different programs, was sharp. 20 of 30 for 204 yards and two touchdowns. A couple of downfield throws that were on the money, some back shoulder balls that looked far beyond a guy playing in the second game of his career in his first home start for Jacksonville. But on a night where Leonard Fournette had minus 8 rushing yards, with 3.5 minutes to go in the game, -8 rushing yards. They were still up 17-7 because, unlike Blake Bortles, Gardner Minshew was able to make enough throws to win them a football game. Meanwhile, the Titans offense, their fans should be paid to watch that offense led by Marcus Mariota. It is so boring, and they are so unable to do anything other than get a couple yards with Derrick Henry between the tackles. He averaged 2.5. And every now and then on play action, hits something from Mariota for like 8 or 9 yards. It's just ugly to watch. It has been for a couple of years now.
Not exactly sure what they're trying to do there. Everybody seems to have something philosophically they try to aspire to. I don't know what it is in Tennessee. They've got a great running back in Derrick Henry. He's a guy that can be so good at this game. But Marcus Mariota has been an underachiever. The backup is Ryan Tannehill. So if you go there, there's not necessarily any guarantee for improvement. So in terms of Tennessee offensively, I don't know what they're trying to do. And you can only score 7 points a game against Jacksonville, a team that's got some turmoil on the defensive side. Good luck the rest of the season, period.
Yeah, I'm at this point, I'm going to be surprised if Marcus Mariota lasts the season as their starter.
Been so disappointed as him as a quarterback in this league. I thought he had some skills. Maybe they're just not getting the most out of him. I don't know.
Tannehill, as you said, is the backup. I don't know that he's that much better, but at some point, they're going to have to just try to create a spark in that passing game. Both of those teams now 1-2. Next on this Football Friday, why don't we do this, Pete? We'll look at the slate in the NFL this weekend for the first time. What game are we going to learn the most by watching? The game that'll teach us the most on Sunday is what? And if you've got a thought on that, you can call us. 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Pete in for Danny today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is a Football Friday, and we are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Pete, what do you say we just replay a few interviews? You and I hop in the car, get on down to Charlestown, put some money down. We will tap into your expertise on college football. We'll win some cash, and then we'll win some games on Sunday's NFL slate.
That'd be a great way to go. It'd be a great way to spend a Saturday. I know that. Sitting there in Charlestown, and you know what you do? What would be great is to watch a guy lose a couple of 12 o'clock games, watch him chase money at 3:30.
Yeah.
Then he loses at 3:30, and then he starts to chase money in the 7 o'clock games. And by night's end, he's walking out, chin on his chest, going, where did it all go?
I hope he gets his money back.
And then he comes back Sunday to try and make it all back on the NFL.
Well, that's how it works, my friend.
That's usually how it works.
You're always just close enough that you think maybe the next day things will go your way. Later in the show, coming up at 12:45, when we give away Nats tickets, as we do every day, we're going to rank our top 5 NFL games of the weekend. So we won't give away which games we love the most, but this is a little bit different. The game that you will learn the most from just by watching 1-4, 4-7, whatever the time slot is on Sunday. It could be one team, it could be two teams. Pete, I want you to go first. Give me a game where you think by the end of 60 minutes of football, we're going to have a pretty good understanding that we don't have right now.
I'm going to go Sunday night game. We're going to find out whether the Browns are pretenders or contenders. You have one of the league's best coming into your building. It is going to be a ripe crowd on a Sunday night in Cleveland. So from that standpoint, everything is going your way. We're going to find out if the Browns are ready to contend in prime time against the league's best as the Rams come to town on Sunday night. Plain and simple.
If Cleveland hangs with LA and loses, let's say 20-17, Mayfield plays okay, physical defense both directions, close game, and they're 1-2, I actually think if you're a Browns fan, you feel pretty good about that. Their schedule is treacherous first half of the year and a cakewalk in the second half. Basically, their goal should be to get to 500 after 6 games and then start rolling downhill. But do they have to win for you to feel like Cleveland's legit?
No, they've just got to play a competitive game, make it a 60-minute game, because now you look in your division, the Steelers all of a sudden are attacking you with Mason Rudolph instead of Ben Roethlisberger, so that now enhances your schedule in a positive way. So I think for the Browns looking forward, you hit it on the head. That schedule gets easier. You navigate this early portion, maybe even pull an upset here on Sunday night, be an upset because they are a 3-point underdog at home, then I think things are looking in a good direction. I think losing a game probably grabbed that team by the you-know-whats and said, hey, maybe we're not as good as our press clippings. We actually have to go out here and earn it. A lot of egos on that team, a lot of guys with a lot of confidence. So I don't think that's going to be hurting. They win this game. I think that confidence then goes sky high for them going forward.
They got waxed by a Titans team that almost got shut out last night in week one. And then they dominated the Jets, who were a junior varsity version of themselves, and they're not any good anyway.
Which I think is an encouraging sign. I didn't think Cleveland played the cleanest game, by the way, against the Jets. But at the same time, they handled that game without it being competitive. That game can't be competitive in the scenario that worked out, and Cleveland never allowed the Jets to be in the game.
Fair. Maybe I'm asking for a little bit much. You know, I like the Browns this year. I picked them to win 9 games and be a wild card. That game was closer than it should have been even in the fourth quarter. Luke Falk was at quarterback. You had a guy off a practice squad quarterbacking, and you couldn't pull away until the very end of the game. But I'm with you. I think we'll know at the end of Sunday night a little bit more about the Browns. Here's my game, though. I love the Ravens-Chiefs game to figure out once and for all if Baltimore is authentic. I didn't really buy in on Lamar Jackson as a passer. And we'll see. Maybe he's going to continue to be accurate, short and intermediate. He's been exceptional so far. So take a victory lap if you're a Lamar Jackson guy through 2 games. But they have played no one. The Miami Dolphins do not count. They are a directional Florida. The Ravens beat them by 49 points and hung 59 on them in week one. The Cardinals are a stiffer test, particularly from a defensive standpoint for Baltimore. They run more plays than anybody. They run out of no huddle so much with that air raid offense that Cliff Kingsbury brought to the National Football League. But they only beat Arizona, a team that I think is going to go 4-12, 5-11, 23-17 at home in their home opener. I don't know that there were any style points in that win, really. I'll give Jackson credit. I thought he was very good again. Now you jump up a level. This is no longer a homecoming game, Pete. You're playing for the first time a legitimate challenge and a contender in the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're in Kansas City. I'd rather play there in September than December, but a very difficult place to go and win in Arrowhead. It's going to be loud. Chiefs fans are giddy. They're 2-0. They look, again, very, very good. You don't have to deal with Tyreek Hill, but you still got Pat Mahomes, who threw for 370 and a couple against the Ravens a year ago. If Baltimore beats Kansas City, if their offense has another strong day and Lamar Jackson, let's say, throws 2 or 3 touchdowns, 0 or 1 picks, 280 yards again, something like that, then I'll start to buy in a little bit more on this offense. I hate to be disrespectful, but I can't do that after Miami and Arizona. You got to play somebody. You're better than those two teams. You should have beat those two teams.
Ravens gave it a great effort against the Chiefs a year ago. Give Greg Roman and John Harbaugh a lot of credit. What they've done here is played to Lamar Jackson's strengths. This is a guy that threw for over 9,000 yards in college, so he's not a total neophyte in terms of passing the football. But what has happened for the Ravens is, like the Redskins, the Ravens for years have chased wide receivers. They have been desperate to get it right. They have finally found a big play guy like the Redskins have in Terry McLaurin in Marquise Brown. This guy can flat out just outrun people. Jackson can flat out throw it to a guy in a straight line down the field. They have been able to manage some big plays in that capacity. Lamar's ability to get out of the pocket, put pressure on the defense. You don't know whether he's going to run or whether he's going to pass. That has helped. And we know the Chiefs are not the greatest defensive juggernaut. But the question for me is can the Ravens defense, without being able to get a lot of pressure on passers over the first couple of games of the season, can they hamper Pat Mahomes enough to get the job done defensively in this game? I think the Chiefs have the ability to score a lot of points in this contest.
And that's my question. Can the Ravens keep up?
Baltimore defensively has got to show me they can stop someone of this caliber from a defensive standpoint.
So Lamar Jackson right now, by the way, 7 touchdowns, no picks, has only been sacked 3 times, and has completed 72% of his passes through 2 games for about 600 yards. He's been amazing. He ran too much for my liking last week. That's not sustainable. But the plays that Hollywood Brown's making, how open he gets downfield, you can dream on that. And the guy to watch in that offense, by the way, Marquise Brown gets all the headlines, and he should. That's sexy. That's deep stuff. That's 40-yard dash in 4.2. Mark Andrews, the tight end,
yep.
That guy's going to catch 100 balls if he stays healthy. 16 grabs, 220 yards, 2 touchdowns. They feed him. He has become a stalwart, fantasy and reality circles for Baltimore. Next on Grant and Danny with Pete hanging out. Before we get into the Nats at 10:45, and we'll preview their series in detail with the Marlins coming up in about 15 minutes. Pete, we're going to have to pick one of the 20-point dogs to cover this weekend, but also to give a team a game. Two teams, for the first time since 1987, 20-plus point underdogs in the NFL. Which of the two of them could have their heavy favorite on upset watch? Next on Grant and Danny.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
With Pete, I'm Grant. No Danny today. We are on Twitter. Feel free to hit us up. Keep the conversation going online at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Pete Medhurst, M-E-D-H-U-R-S-T for me.
Anybody botch the spelling these days?
I get M-E-A-D or M-E-D-H-E-A-R-S-T from time to time.
Did you ever consider, like everyone tells Danny, he should have gone with some type of radio name like Danny Randall or something because Rue is so weird. Yours isn't as bad as his spelling, but you ever consider just something even more simple?
You know,
spelled
early,
exactly
early
like it
in
sounds?
My radio career, I probably thought about John Holmes or something like that. But
John Holmes.
Pete Medhurst was pretty much the way to go. It's the way I started in Salisbury, so I just kind of kept it that way.
Let's look at the two 20-plus point dogs in the NFL this weekend on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Miami is on the road in Dallas, 0-2 Dolphins, 2-0 Cowboys. New England has gotten to a point where they're just going to be heavy favorites every single week. But particularly when you play against a Jets team that is being led by a quarterback who was on their practice squad after being on the scrap heap just a couple of weeks ago, they're on their third QB already. They're basically, Pete, in December Redskins, Josh Johnson, Mark Sanchez mode from a year ago in week three, which is a shame. If you had to pick... And I don't think either of those two teams can win, so there's no reason to do like some ESPN middle-of-the-day TV show topic where we say, this team will win and here's why. Neither are going to. But if one of these two teams covers, the Dolphins at the Cowboys, and they play, let's say, a 13-point game, or the Jets and the Patriots and they play this thing within two touchdowns, which would you be more comfortable putting money on to cover the number with the 20-plus point favorites at home, Dallas and New England?
Josh Rosen and the Dolphins, only because I think it means something to him. He's been a starter in the National Football League, so therefore I got a little bit more confidence in him trying to make some plays. And at some point, you know, more so than even ownership, you know, it's got to matter to some of the players there. And with Rosen coming in as the quarterback, I think he's at least more equipped to play than Luke Falk is right now. Plus, I don't like the Jets wide receivers at all. I mean, Falk could have turned that game around the other night. He hits Bellamy right across the middle early in that third quarter with a pass right on his hands that if Bellamy catches, he splits the safeties and he's gone for a big play, and then all of a sudden you do have a ball game.
Where was Crowder in that game? He got targeted, I think, 17 times and caught 14 balls in week one, and then he didn't catch a pass until there were like 8 minutes left.
It was unbelievable. Couldn't find him at all. Richie Anderson, supposed to be the guy that makes some plays for you on the outside. Nothing happening there. So from that standpoint, I think Rosen making his first start, I think he's going to be hungry to play well because he knows they're tanking for somebody. He wants to make sure that it's maybe not necessarily for a quarterback, even though we all know that's what it is. So I think for Josh Rosen, it's going to mean a little bit more. So I will take the Dolphins to backdoor cover 23 against the Cowboys if you force me to pick one.
Is the number up to 23?
23 right now.
Gosh, that's crazy. What's the latest number on Jets-Patriots?
That would be, my friend.
Dig that up for me. So I think your answer is right, by the way, on Miami. Going to Rosen, a quarterback change can create some momentum, even if it's false momentum for a quarter or two. And they're so bad that it's not going to matter by the end of the game. But the other thing I would say in advocating for Miami to cover against Dallas would be Dallas is less explosive than New England. I think the Patriots can score quicker on some big things down the field. The Cowboys have thrown the ball very well. Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, very talented on the outside. Miami does have one really good defensive back in Xavier Howard who's going to probably cover Cooper. I think they have to go on more drives, sustain more plays, a little bit more Ezekiel Elliott handing off the football balance. And so just naturally getting up by three touchdowns is a little bit harder than New England. But here's the case for the Jets. You are in the division, a divisional rivalry. It goes back for a long time, and you can remember even recently the great rivalry with Wes Welker talking about feet and Rex Ryan when he hated the Patriots so much. These two teams don't like each other, and more so than, say, the Cowboys and the Dolphins, who have no recent ties, two different conferences. But also specific to the Jets, they got a better player on offense than anybody for Miami in their running back, Le'Veon Bell. And even at the end of that game where the Browns, as we mentioned, they couldn't really pull away from New York, he was really good. There were plays where you go, holy bleep, Le'Veon Bell still got it. He's breaking tackles, he makes a catch, he gets to the sideline, turns it upfield for more yards. I could see him doing something wacky where he catches a couple screens and turns them into 30-some yard gains and sets up some scoring drives. He's the best player on either the Jets or the Dolphins. And so maybe you side with them against New England.
You could, but I also believe the New England Patriots are one of those teams that, especially in a division rivalry game, because you mentioned the key point, they don't like each other. I believe New England wants to win this game 65,000-0 if they can do it. I think Bill Belichick derives some satisfaction in seeing his team execute very well in this game.
He doesn't call off the dogs.
He does not call off the dogs. And I think they're going to look to roll the Jets, embarrass the Jets, and that's why I think the Jets have a harder time covering, because I don't think New England's going to take their foot off the gas until very, very late in this game, if at all.
Belichick got asked about it this week on his radio show on EEI. They played the Dolphins and just annihilated them in week two. And one of the stories that came out of that game nationally, they had won 33-0 by 30 points over the Steelers in the first game of the season, and then they beat the Dolphins 43-0. And they had their starters out there, and they were, like, calling timeouts to try to situate their defense to keep the Dolphins from getting on the board at the end of that game, and people didn't take well to that. And he was asked about it on his coach's show, and he basically said, it's the NFL. We get paid to stop that team. And the host was like, so you guys wanted to get the shutout, right? And he's like, that's the goal. Like, our job is to not let them score. He thought, whether he actually thinks this or he's playing his normal on-air character or not, his point is, of course we weren't going to let them score. Why would we do that? I don't care if it's 43-0 or 3-0. Why would we allow Miami to score with our backups? That was kind of his point on the whole thing. That's how he thinks all the time. But you're right, specifically against the Jets team where there's bad blood from the last several years, there's no way that if they're up 28-7 late, he's going to just take guys out of the game. Tom Brady was still on the field at the end of that game.
Nobody takes more satisfaction over watching football played the right way and executed properly than Bill Belichick does. That's what his goal's been his entire life. His dad drilled that into him at a young age. It's about executing the right way. And when his team has a chance to keep doing that, he's going to allow them to keep doing that. We saw that against Miami. I just don't see how the Jets are in any position to stop them either. I mean, how do they match up against New England all across the board against New England's offense? Get them all, and do you have any confidence the Jets are going to get New England off the field more than four times in the game?
No. I like their defense stopping New England more than I do Miami stopping Dallas, though.
But I could see Dallas being semi out of focus a little bit.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure bludgeoning somebody 45-0 and being perfect is their game plan going in.
I don't think
in.
That's in the Jason Garrett playbook.
No. I don't think it's in many teams' playbook. And I think that's what sets the Patriots apart from other teams, Grant. That's why they win all the time.
It's true. He's Pete. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. You're listening to Grant and Danny on this Football Friday. Redskins Bears, some first thoughts at 11 o'clock coming up at the top of the hour. Also next hour, got to get into Tom Brady tweeting last night during the game that he was turning off the TV because the penalties that he was watching were ruining his experience. He's not alone. There are too many penalties right now. We'll talk about that next hour. But next, let's get to the Nats. It's playoff time in D.C. There are less than 2 weeks remaining in the Major League Baseball season. They play 11 more games, and they need wins. Starting tonight against the Marlins, we've got your series preview right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Pete Medhurst is in today. Craig Hoffman's on the show at 11:30, our Redskins beat reporter. Looking forward to catching up with him. We'll get his keys to finding a way to beat the Bears on Monday Night Football. The Redskins are 4.5-point underdogs at home. You get 3 points for being at home. So that means Vegas thinks Chicago is 7.5 points better than Washington. 1 o'clock hour, Mike Jones of the USA Today and Hub Arkish covers the Bears in the NFL in Chicago for Pro Football Weekly. I love Hub Arkish, by the way, Pete. Yesterday I said we had Hub Arkish on, and Tommy and Dar looked at me like I made up someone's name. This guy has been covering the league for years and years. He is one of my favorite NFL guests. I don't know why we haven't had him on in a long, long time.
Before the internet, and you actually had to go out and buy magazines to learn anything about the NFL, Hub, for like 100 years, was Pro Football Weekly.
He was.
He was Pro Football Weekly for like 100 years.
I will stake my guest reputation, Dar, on Hub Arkish slaying when he comes on today. He is so silly. I love listening to Hub Arkish.
Okay.
I'm just shocked with great information, that's all.
No, and I'm not saying that you told me like he's going to be bad or anything.
Right. I just want to make that incredibly clear that I was not doubting you. I just had never heard of him.
Right, and I get that. No one's did anything wrong.
Hub, consistent contributor to Westwood One's primetime radio broadcast. Dar, trust me, the booking is fine. It's in good hands.
He's just got nuggets. He's just smart. He's a silly. Hub Arkish at 1:30. Make sure you're listening. Nats Marlins. This is a series that we've all kind of circled and been looking forward to for weeks for the Nationals because it's the only time in this stretch run where they have any type of an, I don't even want to call it an easy series, but where they get a team that they should push around a little bit. Starts tonight with Anibal Sanchez, 9-8 on the season with a 3.86 ERA against Robert Duggar for the Marlins, 0-2 with a 3.95. Sanchez has pitched 7 innings in back-to-back starts for the first time since August of 2016. He's really rounded into form at a good time for the Nationals. 3 starts against the Marlins this year. He's got 14 strikeouts in 16 innings. One issue he's had with Miami for whatever reason is throwing strikes. He's got 11 walks in those 16 innings. But an ERA just barely over 3. You need him to throw well tonight. You need your bats to wake up in Miami and pound the Marlins. We've talked about how important these 3 games are for Washington. But meanwhile, the Cubs are dealing with the Cardinals. They lost in extras last night. They're throwing a kid named Alec Mills, who had 9 strikeouts, 1 run given up, no walk, 6 innings, first time he pitched out of the pen in September. And Michael Wacha pitches for St. Louis tonight, who's a really tough customer. The Padres had been in a series with the Brewers that ended. So Milwaukee now moves on to an even easier series against Pittsburgh. So the Brewers are playing a team they're probably going to beat just like you are. If you slip up against Miami, the Brewers are going to catch you this weekend.
No doubt about it. Pirates, up until last night where they scored 5 runs, hadn't scored, I think, more than 1 in like 4 consecutive games. They had a fight in the dugout. How ironic, Felipe Vasquez was involved in that. Obviously now involved in off-the-field stuff as well, and that has totally really blown this Pirates team apart here for any quality play down the stretch. So you can't count on them to beat the Brewers for you. I'll tell you the one thing I think that is a concern for Chip Hale tonight, and maybe, maybe he tries to steal that game tonight is Yan Gomes has had to play 10 out of 11 games because Kurt Suzuki can't catch. Kurt could conceivably pinch hit, I think, now if necessary. He's advanced to that point, but he clearly can't throw at a major league level yet. So if I'm going to steal a game, it's giving Yan Gomes back-to-back days with the off day. Maybe I watched Rowdy Reed put on a show in Minnesota in batting practice last week. Maybe I try to steal some innings with him tonight to give Yan Gomes an extra day, because look at what's coming ahead, my friend. No off days here when you got five with Philly in 4 days and then three with Cleveland. If you don't steal a day now, Gomes going to probably end up catching. They got what, five, three, eight, 11. He's probably going to end up catching 20 out of 21 games.
Well, I'm going to have him catch Austin Voth on Sunday. They were together as a battery in the minor leagues a lot this year.
Good possibility.
And they did that recently. The day that Rowdy Reed actually caught was similarly when Austin Voth was pitching.
Got to steal some time for Yan right now just because he's been on such a run. But he's actually hit the ball in clutch times here of late for this club
as well.
He's
been great. He had three hits in his last start. He had a couple doubles the day before that. His average is up almost 30 points from where it was going back 6 weeks ago or so.
Just worried he's going to get gassed catching this much.
He's going to.
Because they're all high-stress innings.
Yeah, he's absolutely going to. There's no avoiding that. I think them's the breaks in a way. I mean, Suzuki's not available, and I got to win games. And Rowdy Reed is not really a solution. But if you want to pair him with Voth, who he knows really well, spend the next few days getting ready for that start, boys. Tell him now. In the meantime, Anibal Sanchez throws to a major league catcher in Yan Gomes, and so does Strasburg tomorrow. And by the way, that's the 3 days worth of games here for the Nats. You've got Strasburg after Sanchez in game two, and then Voth, who has been a surprise in that he hasn't been terrible. As a fifth starter, when they've needed someone to step up, he's given them a chance. And that's kind of what you ask for. He's given you five competitive innings at a time. Since coming off the injured list, he's given up just three earned runs in 12 innings, which is a 2.25 ERA. 16 strikeouts over that span in a dozen innings. So he's pitched pretty well since coming off the shelf. If he can give you, let's just say, five innings, one or two runs against the Marlins, you got to turn that into a win. Strasburg against the Fish has to be a W. Sanchez tonight, because Voth throws in this series, you got to get a win so that you're not desperate to take the series in a rubber match with Voth on the hill.
Plus, you couple that with his six innings of a quality start he had against Atlanta earlier this year. There's enough of a flash from Voth to at least give you hope that he can do the job coming up here on Sunday. However, there are a couple of guys in that lineup for the Marlins that have been a headache. So if you don't hit and the Nats don't score many runs, if you're going to keep here trying to win games 2-1 or 3-2, there's enough of a headache in this Marlins lineup to give you a headache as this series goes along. So the lineup has got to hit the ball for Washington and score some runs here against this Marlins pitching.
More on the Nats coming up as we continue today. Their race for Red October is on the Fan, and it's presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. Next on Grant and Danny with Pete hanging out. Tom Brady tweeted last night he was turning off the game because of all the flags, and there were just too many of them. Again, I don't understand what the league's trying to do with all these holding penalties, but it's halting drives, it's lowering scores, it's making games uglier. We'll talk to you guys about this and get your calls on whether or not all the penalties are ruining the way you enjoy football on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game and every bet for real sports fans.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.